Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a still dreary Lexington, Kentucky.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 8th, 2011, episode 224, sponsored by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, Jamie, the weather stories keep coming. I see this morning in central Pennsylvania that they're having the worst flooding since Hurricane Agnes in 1972, which was the worst flooding they've ever had. And I saw pictures of a Pizza Hut in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which everybody in the country will recognize. It's where they make your Hershey's chocolate. And the Pizza Hut had water up to the roof.
You're kidding.
No. It's some of the worst flooding. There's roads closed everywhere. Schools are closed. And they're just getting endless rain up there in the Northeast. So we hope that that ends up there and they can dry out a little bit. The weather stories continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sad because, we talked the other day about the guy that lost his 22 horses. Not to start the show out on a sad note, but he still is missing his 22 horses. Now, a little bit more backstory is he is up, I believe, in New York. And 22 horses. His name is Leland Neff, and his property is in Schollery County, New York. And it was one of the areas most devastated by Hurricane Irene, and it is a 90-acre farm. It is now currently declared a disaster zone. He said that he knew immediately that the horses were going to be gone because the onslaught of water that came from the dam completely flooded the entire area. And he, as soon as he was able to go outside, he took his computer, got outside, and hiked 11 miles. He walked 11 miles through that treacherous weather to find an internet signal to put basically an SOS out on Facebook. And then one of his friends received that message. She put a page up on Facebook and then contacted Net Posse. So it was like this whole, the guy is working so hard. He says he has three generations of horses on his breeding program, and he's never sold one horse. He says not one horse is here by accident. He's been basically trying to breed warmbloods and thoroughbreds to make show jumpers. Todd Minnickus has been out there and looked at his stallion. All sorts of stuff. And poor guy, 22 horses. Now, the good news is not one horse has been found dead. But the bad news is not one horse has been found. So,
right.
Poor guy. So, everybody send a little prayer up to Leland Neff and his 22 horses, for sure.
Some people are sure are saying, well, why didn't he get the horses out? Well, what happened was there was a dam nearby. A bridge upriver broke. And a dam nearby, they had to open the dam or they were afraid the dam was going to give way, so nobody got any warning. This was not an area that would normally be flooded like that. So they actually opened the waters from the dam and nobody got any warning. It was just they had to open the dam or they were afraid they were going to lose the whole dam. So, which would have even been worse than it was.
Yeah.
So that's what happened there. It was not a great thing going on in the Northeast right now. What a weather we've had here for this year. If you think about from the winter all the way through, and you with your haboobs, just everything. Well, let's find out from Jennifer if we have any happier news on today's show.
I'm glad to report we do. On today's horseshow.com Thursday edition, the Pan American Games are headlining the show, and our friend Kimberly Brown is bringing us a firsthand report all about the exciting preparations going on down in Guadalajara. I say down because we're in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm sure that our listeners in Australia wouldn't be saying it that way. Next up, our regular Wednesday Chronicle of the Horse report is on the road, with Lisa reporting live from the Gladstone Dressage Festival of Champions, a really big deal in the dressage world, and we're going to hear about all the good goings on there. And filling in the potholes of silence in between guests, this morning we will have the usual array of oddball horse activities, off-kilter headlines, and freakishly funny Jamie adventures. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Jennifer. My first daily Winnie is a letter we got, or actually it was posted on our website, and it was in relation, if everybody remembers last week, or was it last week or the week before, Jamie? Well, I don't know. Time flies. I was out, and you had Monty Roberts' daughter, Debbie Laux, on, and she was co-hosted, was kind enough to fill in for me, and this letter is about that episode. It says, "Hi, just wanted to say how much I enjoyed listening to this program. I'm friends with Debbie on Facebook, and it was great to hear her voice for the first time. It was exactly as I imagined it would be, and to hear about her wonderful family. I've been following her dad's concepts for many years now and been lucky enough to attend at least one of his UK demos each year, this year being no exception, and the next one is in October. I've actually lost count to how many I've attended, but I've always learned something new or reinforced something I've already learned and never come away from a Monty Roberts demo with nothing. I'm also a student of his online university and can't tell you how wonderful that is, just like having private tuition with him. Yours very sincerely, Carol Reed," and she's from the UK. So thank you, Carol, for listening, and you did do a great job with that interview. I did listen back to it.
Oh, well, thank you. She was easy. I mean, she's got so much to say, so... No talent there. It was just her just being her. She's great.
All right, your turn.
All right, think back. Think back to that first Saturday in May. Rack your brain. Who was that horse that won the Kentucky Derby this year? You're thinking. Animal Kingdom,
cracker.
Duh.
Oh, right. It wasn't Animal Cracker. It was Animal Kingdom.
Kingdom, and if you recall, he was bumped by Mucho Macho Man, who was bumped by another horse in the Preakness Stakes, and fractured his left hind leg. Now, not a huge fracture, obviously. They didn't have to put him down or anything, but he went to pretty much through a season-ending injury, and then he had to have surgery, and then he had all this work done, and then he's been in rehab. Well, he has now been cleared to resume exercising, so he is now able to go into the treadmills. He's now able to go in the swimming pool, and pretty soon he'll be back on the track. Again, this is Animal Kingdom, winner of the Kentucky Derby this year, so congrats to them and their people. You know, they've been working very hard and spending lots of money to make sure that he's going to be okay, and you gotta definitely give that a little, how about a daily Winnie? There you go. He gets a daily Winnie.
Well, you know, it's been the week of comeback stories between Boyd Martin and Neville Bartos coming back from the fire, what, within 90 days of the fire, and that horse being on oxygen for 24 hours a day, and then having Animal Kingdom come back like that.
Oh, it's great. Definitely is. So we definitely wish him the best of luck. And you know, we've got some more horse racing news to talk about, too. It's the decade of mares. I love it. It's girl power. You know, we had Rachel Alexandra, who won Horse of the Year in 2009, Zenyatta, who won Horse of the Year in 2010, both fillies, and this year Haverdor Grace is potentially going to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic this year and is being talked about for Horse of the Year. She's already won 4 races this year, only lost one by about a nose, I think, to a horse named Blind Luck. I mean, come on. That's like Man of War losing the upset. The horse was Blind Luck. And so she They're going to run her in either the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic or the Breeders' Cup Classic.
I'd be afraid to name my horse Blind Luck. I don't know.
I know, right? This is my horse. It's all one word. Injury waiting to happen. And it put all one word to fit on the paper. So, yeah, you don't want to do that. But Blind Luck was the only one that did beat her a little bit. But they're going to send her to the Breeders' Cup, and hopefully she'll be horse of the year. I don't know if that's ever happened. Three female horses as horses of the year 3 years in a row. I don't think that's ever happened.
Now, I read an article today, and maybe it was wrong, or I read it wrong, that she has lost four times so far. Is that true? Or you're saying that she's only lost the once?
No, she's won four times this year.
Okay, gotcha.
And she's only lost once.
I think, you know, they were starting in some of the articles I've seen, they were starting to compare her to Zenyatta. I think it's a little early for that.
Yeah, to compare this mare to Zenyatta or See You at Peeler's, your favorite horse, not quite yet, but I can't find her record right now, but she is doing she's just amazing, and I hope she wins a horse of the year. That'd be just the coolest thing. But there is little doubt that she's going to win older female horse of the year. I just hate how they separated into ages like that.
Yeah, anyway,
she's
ageism.
Like four. She's old horse
she's
of the year.
She's washed up. Washed up at four. God, that makes us ancient. Amy,
I know. Embarrassing.
Well, that's terrific. I know we have some more racing news a little bit later, too. I wanted to mention that tomorrow is Really Bad Ads Day, and the Really Bad Ads winner this week is Dr. Rose's Gift Pack. Dr. Rose's Remedy Skin Treatment is an all-natural herbal salve that promotes rapid and complete healing of skin ailments. It can be used in a wide variety of animals, including dogs, cats, and horses. And you can find it at drrosesremedies.com. They don't recommend it for humans, but I'm going to tell you, Jennifer and I use it all the time. We have some in our bathroom, and it works great. And the neat thing about this is it doesn't leave scarring like others do. It really does heal the thing. It's really cool how it works. I like it. Hey, we're going to be doing a follow-up on our question of the day yesterday, which was about this study out of Australia that talked about how they found in studying many, 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 many races that what they determined that when jockeys use the whip in the last 600 yards of a race, they found that more horses win with jockeys that don't use the whip than jockeys that do. So we're going to do a follow-up on that. We had a lot of comments on our Facebook page, and I've asked Frankie Lovato, our favorite in the world, best jockey, to come on and talk about it, and he's going to be up with us in just a minute to talk about that. I had a funny little story here I wanted to bring up before we get Frankie on. Not a funny little story, a fascinating story, and we'll have Jennifer post the picture. In China, they found a 3,000-year-old burial site of horses. There were 12 horses lying on their sides, and there were 5 chariots. And it's just, I don't know what you thought, but I just thought it was a fascinating picture. It looked fake almost. But it's this actual burial site. Everything is pretty much stone now because it's 3,000 years old. But I just found it fascinating that they actually bothered to do these burials like this. It was really a neat story.
Until Jennifer posts these pictures, it's almost indescribable what this looks like. There's tombs in it, and I don't. First of all, how do you find something like this? You just start digging in one area of China, but it looks like. I mean, it's like when they put King Tut in there. You know, they left him with gold and riches so that he could have that in his next life. It's like they buried some dude. Or some chick, I guess, with a bunch of horses. She'd have horses in her next life. And there was chariots in there and all sorts of craziness. But to see these horses laying down in the bottom of this tomb is just, it's just spooky. Absolutely.
Yeah,
spooky,
I know.
But
it is. Maybe, Jennifer, if you could post that picture on Facebook, that would be terrific. All right, we have our guests on. We're following up. Let's say hi to him first. Good morning, Frankie.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. How you guys?
Good.
Good morning.
thank you so much for coming on such short notice. We had this come up yesterday about that story out of Australia, the study that was done that showed, and studying a whole ton of races, that more horses would win a race if the whip was not used in the last six or during the race than horses that had the whip done. So that led to the discussion about, you know, should using the whip in racing be banned? And there were a lot of comments on our Facebook page about it. Everybody had their opinion. But Tom Rittenhouse is one of our regular listeners to the show. He's the one that kept track of the Carnage account on Black Beauty, so he's sort of on my side. And he's not a horse person. He's just a bettor. He goes to the track, and he likes our show. And he wrote this, and this is why you're here, Frankie, because of what Tom wrote. He wrote, "Get Frankie and Popcorn on." By the way, for those that don't know, Popcorn is Frankie's little pony. See what they have to say from the jockey's point of view. How many races did he win after having lost his whip or just had to show it to the horse? Me, as an occasional horse player, ban them. Of course, some bettors will whine. These are the same bettors who also whine when the track's closed for a blizzard or hurricane. I thought that was kind of funny. Races are won every day in here in the U.S. without whips. Jocks jock them. Trainers and owners won't allow them, etc. Good horses don't need that level of encouragement to run, and good jockeys find ways to win without them. So that led us to get you on and just really have kind of a serious conversation here for a few minutes about the use of a whip. Obviously, you used them. You rode 12, 15,000 races, whatever it was, a lot of races.
Give or take.
So I guess the first question I would have is just your overall impression and general opinion of the subject.
Well, I'll go back to the study that you mentioned that was done,
mm-hmm.
where it said that there was horses that were winning where the whip was either not used or not used often. That, you know, when horses are running, the jockeys don't need the whip. You know, it's when they're not running. So it's the horses that are fighting for, maybe if they're fighting for the win, second, third, or they're falling back, is generally when jockeys will use the whip more. So if your horse is running for you, it's just like any other tool. You're not going to use it. You're not going to go to your toolbox unless you need it. Now, for a lot of the horses that are winning, if you watch races a lot, you'll see sometimes whips aren't even used. If the horse is running, there's no need for it. Does it make sense?
Yeah, well, it's sort of like if you don't need your spurs, you're not going to use them, but you got your spurs on.
Right. Or if you're driving your car and you're going down a hill, you don't have to hit the gas, you know?
Right, right.
So it's kind of like that. So the study, when I read the study and I was like, well, you know, it's fascinating and I'm very glad they did it. But it's really not a fair thing to, when you're on the best horse, you don't have to use your whip or as much or at all. Many times I've won races where I never had to use the whip, which is a great thing. I mean, it's not that we don't have to use it. We only use it as a tool at that moment. If we're trying to squeak a finish out or if it's a close race, there's going to be whipping. Now, as far as how I feel about whipping, I do wish that there was more rules, regulations. Here in the United States, we have stewards that are constantly surveilling the races and everything that everyone does in horse racing. But during the races, if there's excessive whipping, a steward can decide to pull a jockey up and fine them or suspend them or question why. But there's no set rule here in the United States to say that, well, you can't whip more than three times, for example. Some of the other countries are adopting certain rules, and I don't know exactly what they are, but there are rules limiting how many times a horse can be whipped, and the procedure of a jockey whipping, the swing of their arm, for example. So there is some guidelines in other countries that are in place. But with that being said, I myself personally wish that there was some guidelines, because there's two sides of this. and stop and ask a question at any point, but I'm kind of rambling here.
No, that's okay.
But there is many times that when a race is close, that you know a horse is giving it their all. You don't want to whip them anymore. But there's the betting public, there's the owners, there's the trainers, that if you're not, there's the perception that you're not trying hard enough. There's it's kind of a double-edged sword there too. So there's a lot of times. Well, I wish there was a something, a rule implemented here in the United States that would at least get a jockey off the hook if they felt like, you know what, this horse is giving me their all. I don't want to whip them anymore. But if I don't, I don't want to get fired either, you know, from the trainer or the owner.
It would seem, Frankie, you had the best idea would be to go ahead and ban them. That might make everybody happy as far as, I mean, it might make the bettors and the owners and the trainers mad, but it would get the jockeys off the hook and it would keep the public happy. But in your opinion, Frankie, have you seen excessive use of the whip?
Well, I've been in this business my whole life, so I've seen excessive use of the whip. I've seen excessive use of any discipline of the whip or spurs or any tool that riders use. I've seen excessive use of. So it's
right.
Not just horse racing. But horse racing, I mean, it's pretty obvious. And one thing I want people to understand, too, is we're jockeys. We're riding very short in the stirrups. We don't have any leg on a horse. And if we're not carrying a whip, do you know, I mean, it's just like a horse knowing you're not wearing your spurs. They can take advantage of you.
Well, Frankie, I got to tell you, I ride my horses and I always carry a whip. And you're right. I don't have to wail on them for them to know that I have it. I don't even have to touch them with it most of the time. But just the idea of them knowing that I have it makes them work a little bit harder. So I can – this is a tough argument and a tough thing to try to come to, come to a conclusion on, because you're right. The jockeys need to look like they're using it for the owners and the trainers. The horses a lot of times need to know that the jockey has the whip, and then we need to come to some sort of agreement on how much we can actually use it without getting in trouble. You're right. It's a tough argument.
It really
either
is.
Either way.
It really is. And just for some of the listeners out there, I mean, this is a very delicate situation, and there are some people that love horse racing, and there's some people that just can't stand it. But there's horses, like, after a race that are literally not even blowing. They're not even tired. They won't even drink a sip of water because they took advantage of the situation. They didn't put out. So it can be, you know, where a lot of people are thinking, well, we're whipping these horses and we're beating them bloody, and it's really not the case at all. In fact, now they got new whips out, and most states are making them mandatory, and soon they'll all be mandatory. It's basically a Nerf whip. It's a whip that, it's so very soft, and it's a popper, and it makes more noise than it does anything else, which I'm glad to see. I was very excited that things are going in this direction. But Jamie, I mean, there's times when you get on a horse, and if you're not just holding your whip, those horses just know it, and they just take advantage of the situation. Just go back to the barn.
With jockeys having no leg on the horse, you're right.
Well, I was going to say, they don't have spurs. If you wear spurs, you're poking yourself in the butt. So
I could not imagine being on a racehorse wearing spurs. Could you imagine that? Holy smokes. Maybe that's what we should do, is throw the whips away and just wear spurs.
Get the jockeys going a little bit.
there is training. You know, like with training racehorses, they have a routine, and they're very clever horses. And sometimes you just need to hold the whip in your hand. You're not going to use it, but they'll walk to the track and they'll do their training and they'll have their manners. But the moment that you forget it and you're not holding it in your hand, they don't want to go to the track, or they don't want to do their exercise, or they want to run back to the barn. You know, it's typical stuff that. Any horse, they could take advantage of the situation.
And it's true, and you were right when you talk about, it's very obvious in racing because it's obvious,
Uh-huh.
But in most other disciplines, most riders carry a whip at some point during training. If it's not during competition, it's during training. In carriage driving, which is supposed to be the gentleman's sport,
yes,
during competitions, you're required to have a whip on the carriage.
Yes.
You're required to have one. I mean, whether you use it or not, it's up to you, but it's a required thing.
Right.
I think, just like any other thing, we've seen the races where the jockey's just wailing away, and it probably even makes you cringe. And that's usually the exception rather than the rule, but that's the one we all remember.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Now, I have a very serious question for you before we go on, and is that, does popcorn need a whip?
there's a great example with this. with popcorn and our popcorn adventures. But he's a pretty smart little horse, right? Now, if we're lunging him, and here's a great example. We have a little buggy whip that either Sandy and I, if we're lunging him, if we don't have that, I mean, he lunges terribly then. I mean, he just pays no attention. He falls off.
That means it's a pony.
But if you have it, he pays attention. And he does he does his exercise, and he's the perfect gentleman. Do we whip him? No. But it's an
extension.
Come on,
get up there.
But I actually whip him all the time. I'm just kidding. Well, he whips me back. See, he whips me first, and then. But
well, Frankie, I think it was great having you on because you definitely kind of made me see things from a little bit of a different angle, and you know, putting it in the everyday, the way that we ride our horses, and I mean, every rider knows that feeling of you didn't have your whip and now your horse is not as, you know, moving forward as much as they should.
Or
so I never really thought about that. Or your spurs, just simply because people just don't think of racehorses as ever going slow. You know, but you're right. There is a varying degree of speed on these guys. And, you know, as long, they just need to come up with the Nerf whip idea I really like. And the just kind of coming up with rules on how much you can use it. You know, if your horse is 3 lengths in the lead and you're, you know, 3 lengths from the finish line, I find no reason to whip them. You know, you got plenty of room and you're,
exactly.
But you see that all the time. And that's what's really giving the jockeys and the whips a bad name is that they're using them when they really don't have to. So we need to find a middle ground. We need to make peace. We need to bring everybody together and get on the same page, and I do appreciate you giving us something, another angle to think of, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with all those things. I can't stand the thought of even saying the phrase excessive whipping. I think that there's a middle ground, and there is safety involved. I mean, horses have a certain respect, whether it's a pair of spurs or if you're carrying a whip or whatever tool that we've used for centuries with working with horses, that's a part of this. And removing it entirely could cause safety issues in certain respects. So, but yeah, I hope that it makes sense.
It does.
Well, thank you, Frankie,
you.
For that. I appreciate that. And I wanted to bring up too, you're continuing to do your radio show, right?
Yes, Jockey World Radio. It's a radio show that I created to help educate people in horse racing. It started primarily with some of the kids that I mentor that are all over the world. I have my Jockey World website. It's called jockeyworld.net, and it's a place where people that want to get into horse racing, that have a passion for horse racing, might be a career, they might want to be a jockey, exercise rider, or any job on the racetrack. It's a place where they can go and start learning all the insides of what goes on, how to get started. It's all these tools that I've created to help explain better the industry and get people started.
So, well, and you had a guest on the other night. I want to point out to everybody that, speaking of jockeys, was the jockey, what was her name, Tammy?
Tammy Tamarini.
Yeah, out of Boston, right? Up in
yes.
Massachusetts. And she just won her 2000th race.
Yes, the fifth woman in history to reach that plateau.
And I listened to that interview. It was a great interview and a fascinating person Tammy is. So I recommend everybody go check that out. If they want to go listen to that one, where can they find it?
Well, it's on the jockeyworld.net website.
Okay.
However, what I can do is I could take that link and I could post it on Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Okay, that'd be great.
And there it'll be right there. So.
All right, good.
But it is Blog Talk Radio / Frankie Lovato Jr., but that might be tough.
Okay, that'd be great if you could post it. Yeah,
I'll post it.
It was a good interview.
It's a great interview. A mother of 3 children to reach that plateau, any jockey to reach that plateau, but quite a story, and her husband's her agent, so it's just fascinating.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Frankie. I appreciate you tackling this topic for us today.
You're welcome, and happy horses to you guys.
All right, you
thanks,
too.
Frankie.
Say hi to give Popcorn a hug.
I'm on my way.
And without a whip.
Give him a sugar-free peppermint from me.
Okay. He'll love you forever.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Frankie Lovato, our jockey, our adopted jockey, ex-jockey. He's actually our adopted ex-jockey. Hey, you know who we have to have on here soon, speaking of jockeys, is our adopted bug. Remember, we had the jockey in training from the jockey school here in Kentucky a little while back. Mm-hmm. Well, she's also keeps her horse at the barn where we keep ours, and I was chatting with her the other day, so it's time to get her back on here soon, too. Well, this show is sponsored by Horseshow.com. At Horseshow.com, you can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. Get judged by top judges and get the judges' comments. Just upload your home video and enter a class online at Horseshow.com. It's a simple and economic way for you to compete with your horse from home. It's also a great way to prepare for your next show or track your progress during the off-season. Horseshow.com features real horse shows for multiple breeds and disciplines, judged by nationally accredited judges. Upload, enter, and win anytime at Horseshow.com. And I was over there the other day, and they have a bunch of new shows that you can enter at Horseshow.com. So please do check that out. It's a really cool website. And did we mention that you can win money in some of the shows? Did I mention that?
You didn't. No.
Oh, you can win money in some of the shows. So I thought I'd mention that. Cause the shows you go to, Jamie, you don't win no money. So you might as well be entering the ones on Horseshow.com. You have a better shot.
You know what? I'm hoping for this next horse show because I have a competition not this weekend, but next weekend is maybe I'll get lucky enough and find like a dollar out on cross country or something. If I'm walking around, I'm going to keep my eyes glued to the ground. See if I find some cash that fell out of somebody's pocket. That's the only way that I'm going to win any money at my next horse show.
That's probably true. Matter of fact, with gas prices, it's going to cost you more than usual. So, and that's the other thing about horseshow.com. No gas. You don't have to worry about gas. So,
I know.
That's kind of cool, too. Well, we're going to go to our next guest who's here for us, and that's Kimberly Brown. Kimberly, of course, was filled in for you, was a part-time co-host here and also a good friend of ours. Well, and she also, if you remember correctly, was the one that climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and did the African safari and does all the really cool stuff. Well, she's here to talk to us about more cool stuff, and that's Kimberly Brown. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are y'all today?
We are good. So I texted, by the way, the other thing about Kimberly is she's a freaking workaholic, more than I am. And I texted her last week, or I sent her an email, and she responds. She's on vacation with her mother, and she's responding to all the emails and everything, and I yell at her for that. When I got done yelling at her for that, I found out where she, in fact, was, and that's why she's here today, because there's something coming up that I bet you not the audience is familiar with but doesn't know a lot about, and that's what we want to talk about now, and that's the Pan Am Games, which are coming up. You were in Guadalajara, Mexico.
I was, and it was actually a really exciting trip. I went on vacation with just my mother and me, and it had been about, since I was in college since we'd done that together. And I had a brief stopover in Guadalajara, Mexico, and then on to Puerto Vallarta. But the cool thing about Guadalajara is that that is the host city for the upcoming Pan Am Games, which are held in October this year.
Okay. And they're held every 4 years. If I remember right, it's every 4 years, and it's the year before the Olympics.
Exactly. It's a qualifier for the Olympics. And, you know, my experience with the Pan Am Games had been watching it a little bit from the periphery and growing up and knowing the up-and-comings that were headed towards the Olympics for the following year. And it was just complete coincidence that Guadalajara was the site for the 2011 Pan Am Games, and I was happening to travel that way as well. So it was a great perk for me to be able to drive around the city and see everything that was happening and see the excitement because it's, actually, Guadalajara is where I did study abroad when I was in college, and it had been almost 20 years since I did that.
You went to college there?
I actually did study abroad in Guadalajara. I went to Mexico twice for study abroad. The first time was a city called Cuernavaca, which is about an hour away from Mexico City. And then I loved it so much, I signed up directly to the University of Guadalajara, and I spent another semester and lived in Guadalajara and went to the university there, made great friends, and I lived with a host family just probably about a mile from the university, and so I would walk to school every day. And the really cool part is that my walking path where I went from the house that I lived in to university is the same area where they're doing a lot of construction for the Pan Am Games, because there are several different sites around the city where the competitions are held. The university is being used, and the whole city is being, you know, beautified, and they're upgrading their infrastructure. And the big roundabout, like on European Vacation with Chevy Chase, that I had to, you know, go through every day to get across the street to the university, that was being completely revamped and upgraded. So it was exciting to see all of that, and just great coincidence that it happens to be the Pan Am Games prep as well.
And you told me when we talked a little bit about it that that the people down there are just so excited about this. Everybody's excited, sort of like for the World Equestrian Games were here.
Exactly, and it was such a new perspective for me because, you know, I lived through that here in Lexington with the World Equestrian Games being, you know, promoted here in this region and living here and also working in the industry in Lexington. So when I went to Guadalajara, it was a really fresh experience for me to listen and watch to what everybody was saying there locally. And it started from the minute I got off the airplane, I could just feel the presence of Pan Am Games and the promotion. People in line waiting for customs were talking about it. I could hear a couple of the conversations, just, you know, really lightly, but it was scattered through. And then the city is making a major effort with traffic rerouting and upgrading their roads and their infrastructure. And I saw posters everywhere. It was really exciting. And the greatest part of that is that when I looked around, and I don't know if it just caught my eye or that's what they had more of, but I saw really great promotion for equestrian sports, and I thought that was fantastic because, of course, that's what's true to my heart. So even giant posters that spanned the entire, you know, several different floors of a large office building that had a picture of a jumper on front that said, you know, can't wait to see you at the Pan American Games in October.
I think
that's
you actually sent us that picture too, didn't you?
I think I might have, and that was just something when I was, you know, zipping by the road driving. I just stuck my camera out the window, took a quick picture, and off I went. And then when I thought about it later, I said, well, that is really cool because that was a pretty profound advertisement that they had in promotion. So it was exciting to see that city come to life that way because 20 years ago when I was in school there, I never, ever imagined that the one time that I would be returning would really tie together two things that were so important in my life. And that was really great. I had a really happy stay there. And then went on to Puerto Vallarta. And in Puerto Vallarta, they're also doing some preparation for some of the sports that they're having there. And I didn't see quite as much in Puerto Vallarta because some of the areas, like the boardwalk downtown, they were completely revamped and re-beautifying, but I didn't get to see as much as where the activities were going to be held there. But definitely in Puerto Vallarta, they were all excited about the buzz that was going to be happening in Guadalajara. So,
now,
and that's probably
Kimberly,
5 hours away.
Yeah, Kimberly, so what it sounds like to me, it reminds me a lot of what happened in Atlanta when the Olympics were going to come, the years leading up to the Olympics there. I mean, things were revamped and cleaned up. Have you noticed that from the time you went to school in Guadalajara till now, is it cleaner? Is it crime down? Are they taking better care of it? Or is it just pretty much the same with a shiny coat of paint?
I think it has, you know, really come into, I would say, the millennium. And there were a lot of things that I saw that were the same with Guadalajara as far as, you know, the charm and the culture and the friendliness of the people. But there was definitely a difference that I could notice with the infrastructure, the roads. I visited one of the modern areas in Guadalajara that has the biggest, most modern Sam's and Walmart that I've ever seen. The mall there was glamorous with a restaurant row to die for. I just couldn't believe restaurant after restaurant after restaurant, very posh, vogue ambiance there as well. And even in that mall, they had a big cutout poster, life-size, of a horse jumping over a fence, and they had a promotion for the Pan American Games there. And that really stood out as well because that was in the big atrium. So it's really become an exciting modern clean city, and I felt so safe when I was there. I mean, certainly
I was
going to
ask you about that
people.
Because right now you're hearing about, you know, 30,000-40,000 dead and the drug wars and the shootings and everything going on in Mexico. Is Guadalajara somewhat exempt from that at this point?
I don't know that I would say exempt, because in any large city you're going to have, you know, a level of caution and safety that you need to pay attention to. But the sense that I feel in Guadalajara is that it doesn't feel like a large city that's going to have that much reported crime. I mean, in there I felt very safe. The people were very friendly and respectful. And just like in any large city, if I was in New York or Chicago or anywhere else, I probably wouldn't walk alone at night. I wouldn't go down dark alleys. But in the normal activities of being a tourist or even living there, using common sense that we would normally do, I felt the same sense of safety that I would here at home. And so from that perspective, even with, you know, with language barrier and with different cultures, I think that, you know, the travel aspect for tourists is, as long as you use common sense, I think that people are going to have a really great time and not feel like they need to be looking over their shoulder all the time. But just, you know, in travel, you do things a little bit differently. You make sure you're not swinging your purse off to the side or set it down and walk six steps away to go look at something in a store. So from
that
perspective,
you still have to be smart, yeah.
You always have to be smart, and I know that, you know, it's very, very tragic anytime we see that news when something like that has happened in different parts of Mexico. And we see a lot of things at the border states because there's a lot of conflict and controversy there. But as a tourist and as, you know, returning to a city that was my home city for a long time, it really felt like home and it felt safe. And the same thing in Puerto Vallarta, you know, from a travel city and being a destination location. The whole time there, I felt that the city was clean. The taxi drivers were respectable. You always ask how much it's going to be when you get in the taxi, not at the end. And from there, it was just a really super positive experience. And the people were so helpful and friendly because from their perspective, they really want to be able to support tourism and they want to portray their culture in the best light. But, you know, here sometimes we get the news that we get is not the good news. We usually get the bad and sad and tragic news. So it's definitely a different perspective when you're actually there.
Yeah. So back to the actual Pan Am Games, because that's nice to hear you say that, because, you know, like you said, Mexico does get some pretty negative press. I mean, my husband, being in the Air Force, is actually not allowed to travel to Mexico right now.
Right.
They're just trying to keep them out of there just to be safe. But just back to the sport aspect of it, did the Pan Am Games have all of the sports that the Olympics have? Maybe this is not a question for you, but I mean, is it the same kind of, you know, we've got the equestrian sports, and obviously we know that that's there, but do they also have the random, you know, water polo and all this strange sports, too, strange to us, I guess, that go along with the Olympics?
They do have a lot of the same sports that they have in the Olympics, and I don't know exactly what the overlay is. If we're questioning,
well, I can probably help you. Yeah, I can help you a little bit with that. There are 28 sports that are there, and they're the same ones that are competed at the Summer Olympic Games. Obviously, not the Winter Olympic Games if you're practicing or if you're doing it in Guadalajara. but then the host country for the Pan Am Games also can choose some additional sports that they want to include. So they can actually add some sports, and they get some weird ones sometimes. But there are 28 different sports, and actually the countries that qualify for this are anybody in South, Central, and North America, as well as the Caribbean, is included in that. So there are I think there are 42 countries that are going to be participating in this Pan Am Games. So I hope that helps.
Right. And I think that's about over 5,500 competitors is what they had in 2007. So it's a really big deal, and it's interesting from a sports perspective that, you know, not everybody is aware of it and it doesn't get as much press as sometimes we would like to see just from a sporting event participation level. But I know that the people that are there are really excited about it, and it's just so great to see that level of inspiration and excitement, and certainly the equestrian sport and promotion. And really curious, I'm going to have to go back now and follow it a little bit, what's exactly happening and what's going to happen in Puerto Vallarta, what's going to happen in Guadalajara with respect to the other sports that aren't equestrian, because, you know, for me it hits home a little bit, and I want to follow and see what sports there are and how people are doing in Guadalajara and pinpoint out in what part of the city different events are happening, because I've probably been to a part of that city at some point, because when I was a student, I definitely explored all over the place and had a great time. And it was a vacation for me, and it just happened to be an overlap at the Pan Am Games, which was really, really exciting. But I'm always up for an adventure, and I certainly had a little bit of other adventures while I was there. I sent you all some pictures of swim with the dolphins and zip line and some other animal activities. I did ride a donkey while I was in Mexico.
Well, nice. So if you, Kimberly, if you're going to go back there, I would love for you to go ahead and get me some tickets, because
okay.
I'm a huge fan of synchronized swimming. And if you can just roll on in there and get me some synchronized swimming tickets, I would be forever grateful. That or there's judo, or maybe a little bit of handball. Love handball. Oh, big fan.
Okay. Glenn, do you have any special requests? Because you know me, once you put it on the table, I'm out there running with it.
Synchronized swimming, they all wear those nice swimsuits. I'm in there with Jamie for another reason,
right,
probably, but I'm right in there with her. I can join in on that.
Only as long as you all agree to take a lesson afterwards.
Have you seen that Saturday Night Live skit with Martin Short, you know, and he's doing synchronized swimming with his brother Ned, and he's like, I'm not a strong swimmer. That would be me.
That would be me, too. You would have two Horse Radio Network hosts die in synchronized swimming lessons. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. We'd be like a Martin Short's character and have the water wings on. So,
yeah, that was an old skit. I remember that. That is hilarious. So that's a whole other level of competition. I wonder what you have to be to qualify to get into to that level. We should make that into a Olympic sport.
That would be a lot better than
swimmer.
Us. So now I'll keep that in mind. If we ever go on a boat trip together, Jamie, we're both screwed. We're just going to die. If the boat tips over, we're done. Yeah.
Take
we'll keep
your
that in
water
mind.
Wings.
Yeah, I'm not saving you. I just wanted to let you know. I'm pretty much going to try and save myself. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining us. We do have some pictures. We'll post some of those on our Facebook page of your travels. I got to ask you about one thing before I let you go, though, because Jennifer and I are coming up on vacation here, and we're going to the Smoky Mountains, and we're going to try zip lining. Did you like it?
I loved the zip line. I did a 3-mile zip line, and it was 11 separate lines that went over a span of 3 miles, and it was the most exciting, exhilarating feeling ever. And I even got to let go of the line and lean all the way back like I was flying upside down. So I highly recommend it.
Wow, and this is a woman that's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, and you're saying it was the most exhilarating ever? We got to do it then.
Well, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro was slow and steady uphill. This is fast and furious downhill. So completely different experience, and it is a lot of fun.
All right, got to try it. Have you ever done it, Jamie?
Wait, I missed what the topic was.
Have you ever
was.
Done zip lining?
I'm like, why are you asking me that? We've talked about it. I did it when I was in Hawaii with Chad, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah, and they called me the starfish because the second I would jump off, I'd just spread my arms and legs and go, whee! Oh, I loved it. It was the most fun. You're right. It was so exhilarating because you yourself, because I'm never going to skydive, you actually have to jump off the platform. You know, you have to run, and I would go as far back as I could and run and leap off the platform and just sail across it. It was canyons, and it was just amazing. I loved it. So I'm glad that you enjoyed it, too.
I loved it. And, Glenn, you all are going to have a great time. Take pictures. You'll have to post them online so that we can see.
So we can see my terror on the
That's
zip line.
Right.
Actually,
and
it'd probably be
say,
more Jennifer's terror. She doesn't like heights a whole lot, so this ought to be interesting.
Oh, right. Well, my mother did the zip line as well, and she even did all the fun tricks and exciting things, too. So she went for it all the way and had a wonderful time. Big grin on her face in all the pictures.
You know, I've been in a Piper plane where the pilot was practicing stalls, a 2-seater Piper plane when they were practicing stalls. So I think I probably can handle the zip line. You're not terrified when they're practicing stalls in a little 2-seater plane. There's nothing that's going to terrify you because that's pretty terrifying. Well, with the one exception, everything that Jamie's husband does.
I was going to say, he found the zip lining quite boring, actually. He said it was, he was like, that was fun to watch you, but no, I don't think I'd spend $150 and do it again. I was like, really? That was like the greatest thing. Oh, yeah. I forgot what you do for a living.
Right, right. He's breaking the sound barrier on a regular basis, right? Sonic boom, hear the drive-by. Yeah.
And shooting
he's
at
so
things.
Much cooler. He's so much cooler than all of us.
Back. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But we should qualify for people who don't listen on a regular basis. He is an F-16 fighter pilot instructor.
he was bored. But that's okay. I had fun. And you'll have fun, too. Normal people will love ziplining. My husband's just abnormal.
He's got the need for speed.
That's
yes,
right.
He does.
All right.
All
well,
right.
thank
well,
you, Kimberly. We appreciate you being on with us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right.
Kimberly,
you're
the best. Awesome.
Thanks. Have
Bye.
A great day.
She is fun. And we're going to be following up the Pan Am Games here in a little bit with Lisa from the Chronicle, because she is at the Dressage Festival of Champions in Gladstone, New Jersey, and that is a selection trial for the Pan Am Games. So we're going to talk to her about that. She's on location. I wonder if she's getting wet. So we'll find out right after we do our song today. And we have a sponsor for the song, and that's NupaFeed. So let's find out a little bit about NupaFeed. And then today I was feeling like a little Lindsay Rakers. Jamie and I recorded a special musical episode last night. We got talking about her past musical experience, and it made me think of Lindsay, her old buddy in music. And I had to play some Quiet Boy today. So we'll be right back with the Chronicle Report from Gladstone.
NupaFeed Superior Supplements, taking performance to the next level. Does your horse lack focus and willingness to work? Is he or she spooky or nervous when you show or travel poorly? NupaFeed Magnesium Supplement for Horses is your solution for superior calming and focus. NupaFeed products are of the highest grade, produced by a human pharmaceutical company, Verle Farm in Germany. NupaFeed supplements are now available for dogs at NupaFeeddog.com. Find us online at NupaFeedUSA.com or by phone at 941-921-1764.
Forget me.
And that is Lindsay Rakers and the Lindsay Rakers Band here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Horseshow.com. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And we now have Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse giving us our Chronicle report. And where she is, she's actually out on the road today at the Dressage Festival of Champions in Gladstone, New Jersey. Lisa, good morning. How's the weather there in New Jersey?
Good morning. You know, I hate to say anything to jinx it, but it's not too bad right now. It is not currently raining.
Is it underwater? Is it wet? What's it look like?
It's a little underwater. We drove in late last night, and we drove through real torrential downpours, and it looks like they've been getting that here for a couple of days. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Gladstone, but it's beautiful. You're sort of in this wooded area. You park a little distance away and walk in. And walk in, it was like walking on like a nature hike. It sounded like there were like waterfalls all around us. Except that they're not really supposed to be there. Sort of run off at this point. But the ring seems to actually be holding up pretty well.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because was it last year or the year before they had the horrendous rains that really affected the qualifier for the World Equestrian Games? And they have changed the footing since then, haven't they?
Yep, they have new footing. That was in 2009. I think they actually ended up canceling the last day because it had been raining just constantly and the footing was so bad. But they have new footing. It looks very similar to the footing at the Kentucky Horse Park or at West in Wellington. It's that sort of like a spongy textured material that really can take a lot of water. So right now, it's holding up pretty well. We're supposed to get more rain this afternoon. Hopefully there won't be that much, and we'll be in good shape because the rest of the weekend looks pretty beautiful. So we'll see. I have my fingers crossed.
Tell everybody what is so special about being at Gladstone and the Dressage Festival of Champions.
Well, Gladstone is probably one of the coolest places. It's been the headquarters for the United States Equestrian Team for a long time. We did a history blog actually on our website maybe a month or two ago about all the history behind Gladstone, which you should look up because it's really cool. But this is where team horses actually used to live. They would have, you know, training sessions here. And now it's not used as much for those purposes, but it has been hosting this Festival of Champions once a year, which is it's basically like an upper-level championship. It starts at the junior young rider levels, and then there's a intermediate one, small tour championship, and a Grand Prix championship as well. And then this year they just added for the first time the FEI Pony Championship, which is pretty cool, even though I think there are only like maybe two ponies entered. So basically it's, I think the top 15, they go through the ranking list of people with averages from their sports throughout the year, take the top 15, and then if those riders, you know, number 14 doesn't want to come to California, they take the next person on the list. Top horses everywhere. And this year is very cool because the small tour championship is also serving as the selection trials for the Pan Am Games.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So that's going to be really exciting. And then we also have some awesome Grand Prix horses. Revelle actually made the trip from California this year to compete in the Grand Prix championship. So that's
good
very
deal.
Exciting. We're all... Sorry?
I said that's awesome. I had no idea that Revelle was going to make the trip, but I guess that's what's so special about the Dressage Festival of Champions at Gladstone is because the best of the best from the United States come. Obviously, not many European horses making the trip over.
They actually aren't really... I mean, you can't compete here as a European. You have to be a U.S. rider. So Catherine Haddad actually brought her two horses. She's a U.S. rider, but she's based in Germany. She brought her two horses over, but she can't compete because her husband is the treating veterinarian. So she's doing some test rides, but pretty much everyone else here is based in the U.S. And some people make the trek from the West Coast, like Stefan obviously did. He brought Revelle, and then he has a really super small tour horse as well. People from all over the country, though, make the trip. I think there's some young riders from Idaho and all over the place, so...
Wow.
I think one of the regular co-hosts on the Dressage Radio show, Heather Blitz, has made the trip up there, hasn't she?
She has, yep. And I'm really excited about the small tour competition, actually. I think it's going to be a real showdown between the horse that Stefan brought. His name is Veltina's Magic. And then the horse that Heather Blitz brought, Paragon, I think that's going to be a pretty tough competition, actually. So I'm excited to see who comes out on top.
Heather has been doing very well with Paragon. He is, young guy, but doing very well with him. And they're very excited about the both of them, that pair, going forward for Olympics venues and World Equestrian Games throughout the next several years.
Yeah, he seems like a really exciting horse, especially because he is young and he seems, so talented. I've never seen him in person, so I'm really excited. It's kind of like being here, just sort of continually starstruck because you hear about all these horses all the time, and now they're all in one place.
Have you ever met Heather in person?
I have not.
You'll know when you meet her. She's about 6'2", so she's taller than me. I was shocked when I met her for the first time. I was like, whoa, she's like 6'2". So.
I'll keep my eyes open, but it's kind of hard. A lot of dressage women are very tall and very slender like that, so it actually made me kind of tough to tell her apart.
Well, this is great. Well, thank you so much. What else is going on at the Chronicle? Anything that we should take a look at?
Let's see. What do we have up today? I actually haven't even checked our own website today, which is kind of the fun thing about being out of the office. You a little bit forget what's going on back there. But I'm sure if you go to www.chronoforce.com, there's something good up.
I got to ask you, you wrote an article about Michael Pollard and Icarus, is that correct?
Yep.
So tell us, first, we talked about it just a little bit yesterday. Tell us what happened and how they're doing.
They're actually doing fine. Michael Pollard and Icarus had a fall at fence 26 at Burley. I didn't see it. I'm not sure if it was a full rotational fall, though it sounds like it might have been. Anyway, a very serious fall. The horse stayed down for several minutes, and everyone was extremely worried. Michael thought he had a broken wrist, but it actually turns out that he didn't have a broken wrist. The horse seems to be bouncing back fine. He had some sort of superficial cuts and a little bit of swelling, and he looks like he's going to be just fine, which is great news.
Well, that's fantastic, and thanks for covering that. I saw the headline, Pollard and Icarus Healing After Burley Falls. So hopefully, I think Icarus is still over in Europe, so he's going to be coming home soon. Michael Pollard made his way home already. Oh, it's got to be tough to leave your big pony back there in Europe and come home without him.
I know. Oh, I can't imagine. But at least they're both okay, which is excellent.
Absolutely.
Hey, Lisa, one other thing, Lisa, before I let you go, put on your raincoat because I just checked the radar and you're going to about to get wet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So.
How long do we have?
You have about an hour and then you're going to get wet.
Oh, man. All right. Well, at least I have my rain gear ready.
There you go.
But, check back later because we'll have coverage of all the day's events posted sometime this evening. So.
All right, great. Thank you, Lisa. Good to have you back on the show again.
All right, thanks so much. Talk to you guys later.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's going to get wet. There's a certain advantage to being in the studio, isn't there?
Oh, gosh, poor thing. My God. Well, unless they have covered arenas everywhere, which I didn't even think to ask her, I don't see dressage riders going out there and riding in the storms.
Oh, they do. When they had the qualifier for the WEG, it poured torrential rains the entire day. I mean torrential rains, and the footing wasn't that good. And you saw those dressage riders. Some of the pictures were incredible with them covered. They looked like jockeys by the time they were done. They were so covered in goop. It was incredible. It was one of those stories that you went, oh, my God, I can't believe they kept going, but they had to. And that was a qualifier for the WEG. So.
I take it back then. Hey, did you see the article that Don posted on our Facebook page on Horses in the Morning?
I was just reading it. Yeah.
We discussed this when she lost the race, and you watched the race, and CU at Peeler's just did not look okay. She just did not look like herself. And Jimmy Tactor, the trainer who we've had on the show with us, has taken her to Cornell University, where she is going to undergo tests to determine her status. She's already come up with some regular normal blood work, but she's been displaying a higher than normal heart rate, and he says she's not urinating correctly either. I love to say, he said something's not just right with her, as she's acting like an ordinary horse now. I guess when you were like 22 and 0, you don't act like a normal horse. So now she's acting like a normal horse, and he thinks something's wrong with her. I didn't even realize, too, that she had a race a week ago, last Sunday, at Tioga Downs, and she won the race, but she was disqualified because she interfered with another horse. New Album is what it was called. So she is actually sitting right now at Cornell University, and they're trying to pinpoint what is wrong with her. Again, the trainer just kind of knowing the horse, just saying, you know, she's just not herself. And when you're 22 and 0 and then you lose a couple races, you know, there's definitely something that's made a change.
Wow. Well, we wish her the best. You and I both said that. We were like, oh, man, something's wrong with that horse when you saw how far she pulled back. I hope that's not, you know, when you're talking about heart rates and stuff, that's something not to fool around with.
No, definitely not. So I'm glad they got her on into the clinic and they're looking at her. But you have some odd stories as well today.
Yeah,
I want to
follow up, too, on a Facebook post that we had. I think it was Aubrey posted that they're going to be going up to Penn National this weekend. That's in near Hershey, Pennsylvania, to pick up some horses at the track there, and they were wondering about the flooding. Well, we got a report from Jennifer's mom here, so thank you, Pat. And this is the report from central Pennsylvania. This is the Harrisburg, Mechanicsburg, Hershey area. She said that they are evacuating some parts of Harrisburg now because the Susquehanna River goes right through Harrisburg, and parts of that city, when it floods seriously, a good part of that city floods. 81, Route 81, the major road there south, the Pine Grove Furnace is closed. Hershey is isolated by flooded roads. All the roads getting into Hershey, there's four or five major roads that go into Hershey, or all have streams by them. And what happens is Hershey can actually get isolated by flooding. She says, and everybody's heard of Hershey Park, I'm sure. It's a big amusement park. And she says Hershey Park is underwater except for the really big rides. There's also a zoo at Hershey Park, a little zoo, and that gets totally flooded out. And I saw pictures of that yesterday. And they have to evacuate the animals out of there and everything. And Hershey Park sits in a low-lying area that's surrounded by a creek. And it sounds like most of Hershey Park is underwater. The Susquehanna River is expected to crest at 28 or 29 feet, just shy from the 32 feet at Agnes. That did horrendous damage in Harrisburg in Agnes in 1972. It was horrendous flooding, and it sounds like it's only going to be 2 or 3 feet off of that. So my answer to you, Aubrey, is call ahead to the track. Make sure that you, in fact, can get there. The track itself sits a little bit higher. So I don't think that's going to flood, but you better make a call before you make the trip up there from Virginia. So that's the latest from central Pennsylvania.
All I can think of when you talked about they evacuated the zoo. How the hell do you evacuate? Like, well, okay, here, kitty, 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 kitty. Come on.
No.
Come on. Get in a nice little cage. Kitty,
all
kitty,
right,
kitty,
the damn
kitty.
Monkeys won't come in. Get down from the top of that tree and get down here.
What kind of horse trailer do you use for an elephant? Come on, buddy. Load him up.
It's
oh
a smaller zoo there. It's not a full zoo there, but they do have quite a few animals there. And I imagine you're right. Some of the wild animals might be interesting to round up and haul out. And then I don't know where they go with
them trying to get the tiger in the cage. Come on, kitty, 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 kitty. Come on, kitty, kitty. Because we know every cat responds to that. So
yeah. All right, other stories. Boy, we had a lot of serious stuff here today in the news, too. Let's see. Oh, geez, I'm going to do this one because it's sweet revenge by the horse. And I'm going to read, this is out of Pennsylvania, too. Matter of fact, this is the western part of the state. A Montrose man, Pennsylvania, remains in jail Monday night on several charges after Pennsylvania State Police say he went on a morning-long tirade that ending with him kicking his mother, hurting and injuring a horse, and getting himself shot. Apparently, he wasn't happy or drunk or stoned or all of the above, and he got a ride to the mother's house. He used a fire extinguisher to bash in the front door. He went in, he choked his sister, he kicked his mother, he punched his brother's teeth out. They finally apparently got him out of the house, but his tantrum wasn't over. In fact, it got worse. he went into the barn and started destroying things in the barn. Then apparently he took out his aggression on an already injured horse by trying to ride it. He got bucked off. Big surprise there. The horse was not happy with that and bucked his ass off.
Sweet revenge. I love it.
So then he apparently mob was fed up by that point, grabbed a .22 caliber pistol, went outside, and apparently the son saw the mother with the pistol and was really upset and went charging at his mother, but he forgot that he had the lead of the horse in his hand, so he couldn't charge too fast, which gave his mom time to shoot him in the chest. So, yes, sounds like something out of a Betty Hill show. He's fine. Everybody's okay, I guess, except the poor brother without the teeth. And he's been arrested now after being released from the hospital for burglary, criminal trespass, terroristic threats, assault, recklessly endangering another. I thought that said a mother, but it said another. Harassment and stalking. It doesn't say anything about animal abuse because guess what? The horse won.
Okay, so his mama shot him in the chest?
And he was released the same day. 22s are pretty small, so I guess they got it out and it was okay.
Oh, you got a mugshot and everything. I like that. Yeah. I like that tattoo climbing up the side of his neck. That's
classic, isn't he? Doesn't it look like he just had a bad day? And he in the mugshot, everybody, he's in his hospital gown. So I just love
yes,
the horse
is,
that
one. Yeah. The horse knew. Bucked him off. I love it.
Hey, you know, there was somebody that we've talked about before, and an owner of horses that's in the news again.
Who's that? Oh, Michael Crowley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just won a big prize. And no surprise here, but at Saratoga, the 2011 racing season, they have their spring or summer and fall meets. Well, he won the best horse owner at Saratoga's summer meet, which is really no surprise because the guy has cleaned up on everything, including winning the Traverse Stakes with Stay Thirsty. And he's just had some amazing horses. Uncle Mo made his comeback there. No doubt he's going to get that small prize. I mean, it's got to seem like, I guess when you're awarded something like that and it's in your what you'd like to do, it means a lot. But this is the same guy that sold his vitamin water company to Coca-Cola for $4.1 billion. That's B with a billion, billion dollars. And so a nice little prize. Here you go. Congratulations. You're the owner of the meet.
I want to be able to do an invention like that someday. Take tap water, throw some vitamins in it, and sell it for $4 billion.
You know, ironically, it's not even that many vitamins. It's more just sugar. So the guy's brilliant. Let me make some water and put a bunch of sugar in it and call it vitamin water, and then everybody's good. $4.1 billion. The guy's a genius. Genius.
Anyway. Hey, you have an app I want to talk about. Yeah, you have an app I want to hear about.
Yes, if you'll let me just go to it. I mean, geez, this is the coolest app ever, and I want you to download it because it is going to keep you informed with what I'm doing next weekend. This is an app that is currently allowing you to know exactly what's happening at every horse show that they have listed on here. It's got dressage shows, horse trials, a listing of events. All it is, it's called Horse Show Tracker, and it is current scores that you can get on an app. It's Starbox Online Scoring, and that's the name of the company that made this app for you. I think it's $4.99, and you can find it in your iTunes store. We need to call and contact them and get them to sponsor because this is such a cool idea. And I wonder if it's going to do track the scores from horseshow.com. What do you think? We need to make that suggestion.
Well, We have a technical issue, but that's okay. We can keep moving along. Maybe we'll just play a little bit of music. A lot going on here. What shall we play?
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
That was my official button for the day.
I'm back, I think.
There's Glenn.
I think I'm back. I don't know. We both got booted off, and you apparently were still here, so good for that.
Yeah, everybody disappeared all at one time and left me all alone. I was over here painting my fingernails.
I think Jamie's trying to get back to us now, and I think Jamie might be there. Are you back, Jamie?
No.
Jamie, are
yet.
You back?
There she is. We hope.
I don't hear her. So we'll assume that she's not here at the moment. I do have an update on the zoo situation that we were just talking about in Hershey that I'd like to share with everybody. You know, here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Yeah.
And they did a blog post at the Zoo America in Hershey. As many of you know, today has been a very difficult day at Zoo America. First and foremost, the zoo staff cares deeply about the safety and well-being of the animals in their care and truly considers them members of their extended family. Today, the zoo experienced unprecedented flooding, more than we experienced with Hurricane Ivan or any other severe weather event in the company's memory. And that's
that company's been around a long time.
100 years. The zoo began flooding preparations 2 days ago by moving all the animals to higher ground. Recognizing the likelihood of serious flooding, the team activated our animal evacuation plan at noon today to ensure that the animals were out of harm's way. This plan has been in place and effective for years. Unfortunately, no one can anticipate a weather event that went from inches of rain to feet of flooding in a matter of a few short minutes.
Wow.
While we were able to ensure the safety of the vast majority of the animals at the zoo, floodwaters rose too quickly in the area occupied by two of the zoo's bison, and we were not able to rescue them. Faced with the prospect of watching the extended suffering of the bison and their eventual death due to drowning, the zoo staff chose the most humane path possible and euthanized the bison. It's a very sad day for us, and blah, blah, blah. We can tell you that each of us feels the loss very deeply. So apparently this flood came up so quickly that they didn't have time to get all the animals out.
Wow, that's amazing.
What zoo is this? Sorry, I missed the beginning part.
This is Zoo America, the Hershey Zoo we just talked about. They posted that this came up so fast that they weren't able to get all the animals out. They lost a couple of bison, but it sounds like they got everything else out.
That's horrible. What a sad story.
I know.
Poor
yeah, know what?
Animals.
But that horse bucked that guy's ass off.
You know what? I was sitting there telling you guys about the new iPhone app with Horse Show Tracker, and I said, you know, I've got a brilliant idea. I said, Horse Show Tracker should get together with Horseshow.com, and you can track Horseshow.com's live scores.
Oh, there
and
you go.
Know what I heard?
Great idea.
I heard nothing. I was like,
we both
really
got
stupid?
Booted off. Jennifer was here by herself.
I was all alone there for a couple seconds. It was scary.
I was like, hello? Am I not funny anymore?
Well, the one other, just two, I only see here. I got one other story that I wanted to do today, just kind of a funny little thing. Quirky thing. You know how we like to cover the quirky things that involve horses, little festivals and parades and things around the country? Well, I saw this one. It's in St. Paris, and it's in the Indiana and Champaign County, and I thought, well, this is really cool. They have something called Pony Wagon Day, and it's coming up September 8th, actually this weekend. And it's a festival that honors its history as a center for carriage manufacturing, and its heritage is the home of the Walburn and Reicher Carriage Companies. In the late 19th century, the company was known as the prominent pony wagon manufacturer, and they have a parade. So I went to their website. They got a lot of stuff on their website at ponywagondays.com, and I thought, well, this will be cool. I'll go check out. There's no on the pictures of the parade, there's not one pony wagon. Fire trucks, they got bands, they got baton twirlers, a couple little mini horses being walked, not one pony wagon.
No?
That's kind of disappointed, actually. I wanted to see pictures of pony wagons, but apparently we don't do pony wagons anymore.
And it's called Pony Wagon Days.
Yeah, and it's the Pony Wagon Parade, but we don't have pony wagons.
Glenn, you need to get the ADS on this.
I know. American Driving Society should contact them and say they're misrepresenting.
They need to step up. Get some folks.
You're going to do a pony wagon parade. You better damn well have pony wagons.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at this and like, I would not be that disappointed. Pony Wagon Days. Let me list the games that are being played. And I think of the, you know, this is like a World's Fair. You've got, you know, your county fair where you got rides and you got all the midway where you, you know, throw the thing in the basket and win a stuffed animal. Here's the list of games that are going on in Pony Wagon Days. Okay, Glenn? So, first of all, we've got bingo. Bingo! Bingo! Cornhole.
You can't live in Kentucky and pick on cornhole. You pick on cornhole in Kentucky, that is just like picking on the University of Kentucky basketball team. You'll get killed here in Kentucky.
Being from Georgia, I know what cornhole is and was a big deal. But yeah, it's not a fair game. I wouldn't think of a fair game as bingo, cornhole, and then bowling. That is the other activity that they do have provided at the Pony Wagon Days. So do not be upset. Probably not going to make it to this year's Pony Wagon Days. Where is it? Oh, Ohio. St. Paris, Ohio. You going?
No, I think I'll pass on that one. They don't have any pony wagons. I'm going to call them, though. I'm going to give them a call and a register of protest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
let's
enjoy
call
that.
It a well, day before we get booted off again. So,
good.
We will be back again tomorrow. Don't forget that we have a really bad ad tomorrow. Submit your really bad ad. Jennifer, you might want to post a request up there on Facebook. We have Dr. Rose's Remedy skin treatment for you tomorrow for the winner. So please do post that. And then we have another full week of programming next week, and then we're off on vacation, and we have some terrific shows for vacation week that we've been recording for you, and we're very excited for you to hear. So
yeah, and definitely tune into really bad ads tomorrow, Glenn, because I found one written by a pregnant woman, and it has nothing to do with horses, but it was just so funny that I had to post it. So
okay.
Pregnant women really bad ads tomorrow. Oh my God, it's ridiculous. It's very funny. So please check that out tomorrow, everybody. Please have a great day and spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. Thank you, everybody. You know, I can't say see you at Peeler's today because the poor horse might be injured. So I'm just going to say wear your helmet and have a terrific day. Stay dry.
See you at Peeler's.